under pressure. Pressure.
Back in the room.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, we kind of missed a bit of the under pressure there. We were, how you say, under pressure. Funny, you know, I was saying to a friend, what was it? It would have been the 22nd. Of December, just a few days before Christmas, before we broke up for a Christmas break sort of thing. And I said, I've got a funny feeling there's going to be one more sort of quite big name that goes, you know, before the year's out. And we all kind of, you know, said who our wishes would be. Like, well, I said it was going to be Keith Richards, because Keith Richards has done a lot of press this year. You know, he's done a lot of sort of... if you go on YouTube, there's a thing called Ask Keith, and it's a interview about his sort of favourite guitars and his people he's worked with and met, and his heroes and his villains and his blah blah blahs and all that. Then he did a whole night on BBC Four, where he chose all the programmes. And usually when somebody like that, because Keith's famous for not talking to anyone, you know, he says in his book that he's never been comfortable with the celebrity thing, whereas, you know, Keith and Ron and all the rest of them sort of loved it, you know, and
yeah.
So that's been the driving force. So I thought that Keith was probably on his way out, because let's face it, he fucking deserves it. So
he's but, been deserved well.
He's been pickled well. And apparently he's I was just reading another thing about him the other day, that he's you know, he's on fruit juice and all that stuff, and the only vice he has these days is fags. You know, so cigarettes for our American customers. Yeah, that's all he does these days, is just smoke. He doesn't really drink, and he doesn't really do drugs anymore and all that sort of thing. So he's kind of over that sort of thing. So, but I just had this sort of feeling that perhaps it was him, because he is all of a sudden doing all this press and all this sort of, you know, being quite open about everything that he's, you know, done in his life, from his parents to his own family, because he never talks about his own family, but he's been talking about how many grandkids he's been on Jimmy Kimmel, but showing his little grand, he's got a great grandchild now or something like that, and he was like, you know,
and then his,
sitting on the sofa watching,
and then his bandmate also has great grandchildren and now has a new son at the age of 73. How bizarre is that, having great grandchildren younger than your son.
Yeah, that is pretty fucking weird. Although the person that Fajit went by to visit today is has a 48-year-old daughter, and who has just had a kid last couple of years ago. So he's her brother is a generation younger than her. Or something. So I do actually have, you know, first-hand experience of that. But yeah, I thought Keith Richards was the one that was going to die beforehand, or going
instead to instead of George.
Instead of George, who's actually ages with me. Well, he's a year older than me. And isn't that fucked up how he suddenly, you know, disappeared? And I don't know if have you read anything about his death or anything like that.
Well, they're still been a bit cagey about it, haven't they?
Well, it hasn't been released. The post-mortem was inconclusive, sort of thing. But he did have pneumonia last year. And he had, you know, he had all these sorts of weird stories of him being stoned and driving into a Happy Snaps, you know, thing and all that. And there's just lewd story after lewd story coming out about, pardon me, about his private life, sort of thing. And I just read that he actually did a pro-Palestinian record. Did you know that?
I may have heard something about that.
Yeah, he stood up for the Palestinians, and ever since that, which was about 2 years ago, he has been, you know, ridiculed, dragged through the mire, just crappy stories that, you know, it could happen to any celebrity sort of thing. But I didn't know that, and I didn't know he'd actually stood up and he planned on doing a concert for Palestine, along with, because Pink Floyd are talking about doing it, aren't they? Or we're talking about sort of doing it. And that's all gone a bit quiet, so I wonder if they've had the sort of...
the nod.
the finger put on them sort of thing, you know, sort of saying, like, but I would be very surprised if Roger Waters ducked out or something like that. If he says he's going to do something, he normally does it. Because he is quite an angry bloke, his old Waters, and he's the kind of guy that would do it, you know. So, let's see what that happens about that in the new year. But yeah, I was quite shocked about to read that about George, and because he did actually have a big health scare a couple of years ago, and he'd done a concert for all the nurses and stuff like that for free for them, sort of thing, yeah. And all the money that was raised from that went to them directly. And you know, there's all these stories about his fortune is going to be divided up between, you know, various sort of, I mean, LGBT stuff, which is, you know, is a bit questionable.
I think his sister's going to get $105 million.
His sister's going to get a big, she's going to get the lion's share, sort of thing, because she's the only surviving family member, isn't she? But the rest of it's going to be sort of divvied up between various, like, causes he was into. And I did read somewhere as well that some sort of Palestinian charity is going to get its hands on some of it. So fair play to old George for doing that. And
that's a very good.
You can possibly see why he died, because he never really, you know, if he was sort of boozing and drugging and all the rest of it, so, you know, that's never a good idea. But I was kind of quite interested in that when I sort of flicked on it.
and it seemed that Carrie Fisher got a week's reprieve, because, you know, she...
Yeah, did she have a heart attack on a plane?
Yeah, on the plane to LA.
She was sort of... she was brought back, and then, what was it, Christmas Day she died?
Boxing Day? Boxing Day, yeah. Or even the Boxing Day was Monday, Monday, yeah.
Then a poor old mother dies the next day. It was like, fucking hell. Not a good day in the Fisher household.
No, I feel sorry for a brother.
Yeah, it's a funny old thing, death. We've seen a lot of it in 2016, haven't we?
The fire monkey. So, next year, the Chinese year, will be the fire rooster. So we're going
fire
to get,
rooster? Mm.
Yeah, so it's going to be a lot of Kentucky Fried Chicken. Lot of McNuggets.
Yeah.
Fake news McNuggets.
Yeah. Well, it's luckily romance and personality. That's what that one's saying. That should be quite interesting. When's that coming out? Been in February. Was it? It's been the year of the goat this year, isn't it?
No, I think it's the monkey year.
Has this been the monkey, is it? Okay. Well, the goat was last year, it was the previous year, wasn't it? Because I read do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep last time, and it was the year of the goat. Because in the novel of said, you know, the Blade Runner, they've got an owl, but it was actually a goat that he bought.
Have you seen the trailer?
I thought that was a bit of a shock. Ridley's going to be fucking busy next year, isn't he? He's got the Alien thing coming out as well. And the, he never actually directed the...
He's in Alien?
There's a new Alien film coming out as well, yeah.
Well, like a Prometheus.
In that timeline. Have you not seen that trailer?
No, I'll have to look that after the show.
Yeah, there's an Alien movie on its way out next year.
Star Wars. No, he's not in Star Wars anymore, is he? Or is he? He got killed.
Who?
Han Solo.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Have you not seen...
I haven't seen the end. I've seen it up to where they all get ready to go off and take them on, sort of thing. But
sorry, mate. Right.
Yeah, no. I don't.
People seem to be celebrating early tonight, as there's quite a lot of fireworks going on outside. I don't know whether
Alien Covenant.
An alien.
The film's called Alien Covenant.
Oh right, okay.
Alien Covenant, yeah. It's the latest in that money spinner, which is the alien thing.
So, should we have a chat about the what we were talking about before the show, the 21st Century Wire's top 10 conspiracy theories? Number 10, the Dallas cop killers. I'd forgotten about this completely, and that was only in the summer that mm-hmm. this happened. We were told that 5 police officers had been shot dead and 6 other wounded by a lone gunman. Well, I remember at the time they said that there was 5 shooters, and then it went back down to 1. And then this is the one where they used the robo cop device to blow him up, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Fucking hell, I forgot about that. Fucking mental. And a possible George Soros sponsored street protest was is this what sort of brought the Black Lives Matter thing into being?
Yeah, I think, I don't think it was just the spate of African Americans being shot by cops. Yeah. Whether or not those cops were white or black, it didn't really seem to matter. I think it was just the emphasis on black people getting shot by law enforcement, which, you know, is probably a problem, but the way that the Soros industry operates is that they just take advantage of any and all opportunities to further their ends, which
regardless of whether they hit them or not.
Yeah, so we saw that back in the summer of the Black Lives Matters.
Let's brought up it.
And that has affected not only various situations in America, but also here in Britain, where they had closed down City Airport and then they closed down Heathrow for a while. Was that the case?
And that was known as incidents known as active shooters, which is quite an odd turn of phrase, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is, yeah. Really sad. And like you say, the RoboCop thing. It's just a fucking hell. Soros has definitely got his hands all over a lot of shit that's going down, isn't it? And so number 9 is the double bombing in Brussels, which I kind of remember.
That was at the airport. Never really. He was at the airport and then in. Quite close to. Was it down the road from NATO? Another, like maybe Interpol or some other law enforcement security agency. was pretty much on that road.
Yeah. But again, all the protagonists were killed or shot dead, sort of thing. So again, we'll never know the truth about that one, will we?
No, but it did start the sort of the hashtag of the pink jihadi, because one of the guys that the was that France? Maybe he, was that one of the France attacks, and he was from Belgium.
Yeah, well, there's been quite a few sleeper cells in Belgium saying, aren't you thinking about Orlando?
No, no, because I just remember that one of them was a potential rent boy in the gay district of Brussels.
All right.
Well, whether or not that was with the actual Belgian attacks or it was linked to the Paris attacks, but one of them was definitely... a regular in the on the gay scene in Brussels, so this sort of linked in with the Orlando situation.
Right, we'll get to it. But they did uncover that the most notable media blunder was the mainstream media's fake CCTV footage from inside Brussels airports, is the same video that was used in the terror attack in Moscow airport in 2011. Oops.
Really?
Oh. According to Patrick, and we kind of trust Patrick's judgment on that. So
they keep using... Well, I mean, this seems to be a regular occurrence that the... you know, the mainstream is using footage from elsewhere to tell the narrative of the day.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that sort of gets mentioned right at the end of the article is, we forgot to mention that Mason Wells, a Mormon missionary who allegedly survived three separate terror attacks since 2013, Boston, Paris and Brussels, has been caught on CCTV again. Oops. So because they've got a picture saying unknown wolf Berlin, unknown wolf Brussels. Fucking hell. Can't make the shit up, actually, can you? See, this is people who are belligerently looking at things like this and actually spotting that, you know, you can't just stick a pair of glasses on, mate, and fucking walk into a terrorist situation.
Well, you can if you're that guy.
If you're that guy, yeah. I mean, imagine being unlucky enough to be in both Boston, Paris and Brussels. I mean, Boston was a while back, wasn't it? But Paris was only last year.
What are the chances?
Yeah. And interestingly enough, as well, over the Christmas period, my lovely wife and I decided to watch the Daniel Craig Bond films that have been on over Christmas, and Fychek's dad actually had a copy of Spectre, which is the latest Bond movie. Have you seen that?
Yes.
You know, it's basically saying, you know, this is the Illuminati sort of thing, and the MI5, MI6 have been merged, which is a total... common purpose ploy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that movie yet? The MI5 wants to sack the 00 program and get rid of it, sort of thing, and then just basically have all surveillance from every country in the world linked into a central sort of branch in London. And
be a private company as well.
By a private company, and then who is it? They need all 9 security councils to agree on it, and there's 8. For one against, and that's South Africa. And next thing you know, South Africa's been bombed. It's like the good old Bond films are there to show you what's really going down, which is just a little side note on what we're just talking about there, and as in the Brussels bombing sort of thing, you know, false flags on your own doorstep.
But I mean,
so like at number,
Bonds have always done that, though, haven't they? Yeah,
they were
written by a spy with lots of inside knowledge, just written as fiction. So
yep. You kidney, make it up. So the next,
so it does put into question the hidden meanings in Roald Dahl's stories.
Well, we were watching that last night and it didn't look good, eh? It did look good. It was like, hey, what? I never really knew. I mean, I always kind of liked Roald Dahl. I mean, I remember reading the Tales of the Unexpected books and the collection of short stories, which is that, and they're fucking brilliant. And I've been a fan of sort of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, only because of Gene Wilder and all that stuff. But I actually read that book as well when I was my early 20s, and it was fucking strange, eh?
Yeah.
It's very strange. It's some definite sort of that's a bit off, written by a sort of older bloke about these kids sort of thing, with all the little, you know, scrutinising the little traits and the little differences sort of thing. So yeah, I mean, Roald Dahl's definitely got questions to answer. And have you ever seen that footage of Gary Glitter on This Is Your Life?
No.
Have you ever seen that? You should fucking look it up on YouTube, it's very interesting. You've got, it's not Sophie Dahl, it's the one who's older than her. The other one who was the model sort of thing. And he used to stay at Roald Dahl's house. Did you know that?
No.
Gary Glitter used to hang out there. Yeah, Gary Glitter used to hang out there. And she used to bring her school friends back in the school uniforms to meet Gary Glitter for a fiver. And when she says that, you see Gary Glitter going, shh, you know, sort of shushing or sort of thing. It's very fucking strange. Just, see if you can find it. I mean, Bob Pearson, is it? One of our Facebook friends.
Bob Presto.
Posted that. Bob Presto, yeah. It was on his thing.
Remember, you can go and buy his book, Don't Throw the Water Out with the Baby Out with the Bath Water, from Amazon.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good. He sent me a copy of that.
All right, good one. Well done, Bob. Yeah, I always enjoy Bob's postings. They're always okay. As is a guy called Paul Webster. You know Paul Webster? He's putting up good stuff like this one, for instance, like the cancer charity is busted for using 187,000 million for personal luxuries. Well done, cancer charities, though.
Well, that's charities all over, really, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Right, go through number 8 whilst I nip to the loo.
Okay. Well, I'll leave that one because I don't really know. But number 7, we'll come back to number 8, which is Germany going Galdadio, whatever that means. German attacks on the German people, like the Berlin Christmas market, where very similar to the Nice attack, a lorry just ploughed straight into a lot of people, and which, you know, kind of seems to be a bit of a thing for terrorists to do these days, which is quite obvious when you think about it. You know, just driving a truck into a crowd of people, that you're going to get casualties no matter what. Quite easy to sort of jump out the moving vehicle and get away. But and then as in Nice, we saw bullet holes in the glass, but the guy was sitting on the other side of the glass, which didn't have bullet holes in it, so quite convenient there, sort of thing. But same thing happened in Germany. And then we go down to number 7, where there's the Istanbul airport bombing following Turkey's failed coup d'etat, which with some tension in Turkey.
Yeah, and like I said before, had the best Bond villain name for the coup, dude, for Tula Gulen.
Tula Gulen, yeah.
Who, interestingly, is in a very secure complex in America. I think maybe in Maryland somewhere. No, Pennsylvania, he says. So he was running the queue, probably for the Americans, from America.
That's a useful country, is Turkey.
Yeah,
as
yeah.
we know, all the White Helmet sort of stuff was filmed out there, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah, and whenever the you know there was footage of them doing the training, or even when reporters, I suppose, they're reporting from Syria, they're usually just like in Turkey or Lebanon. It's only the hardcore people. And people that want to actually get the truth that venture into Syria and find a completely different story.
Absolutely, yeah. And again, big thumbs up to people who do those excellent jobs. But this coup d'etat in Istanbul had sort of all the hallmarks of the earlier mentioned Brussels airport's bombing. In the early 2006, so it was basically, could we say it's the same people who's doing it?
And then let's, you know, link. So there's been quite a number of, you know, bombings, more bombings, and then, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we get this most bizarre situation where the Russian ambassador is gunned down live on telly the assailant behind him, and he's allowed to he's being basically given a platform to you know shout whatever he shouted before he's gunned down.
Yeah,
you know, there's quite a lot of questions need to be answered about that whole situation. Like, where were the ambassador's security? Where were his security detail? Why was this guy not immediately taken out or even disabled enough to arrest? See, this is a very convenient tool that police forces all around the world use in situations like this. They just shoot the culprit or the supposed culprit. So we can never get the backstory of
Was the fella who did the story what I was just mentioning on my own there in Germany. Was killed in Tunisia, wasn't he? And he just fucking like the guy who done the Christmas market.
No, he was killed in Italy.
Oh, Marseille. Oh, in Italy. Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, he was Tunisian.
Yeah, he was killed in Italy. That's right. Yeah, and there was another one. There was another sort of link to Marseille, wasn't there? All these sorts of you know places that are convenient. I mean, this goes back way back to the sort of question of immigration, you know, whether would they flood these people full of, you know, immigrants to sort of, I'm not fucking saying anything about immigrants here, but, you know, they do put people in places such as Marseille, you know, that's famous.
They use the tool of mass migration infiltrate.
But, yeah, well, the end of the Turkish thing, they invade fucking Syria 4 weeks later, don't they? Like, ISIS continues to create havoc in Syria and Iraq. It's just another sort of diversion tactic, another sort of this thing's happening. Woof, we'll move in over there. I mean, number six on Patrick's list is also linked to what we've just been talking about, is in the Nice Truck Attack. And like I just mentioned in the German one, it seems to be a new obvious use of a weapon. It's just basically a truck which plows into a large body of people who, you know, not all of them can get out of the way. There's going to be, like, for instance, in Nice, there was 84 people killed by one single guy just driving a fucking truck. And I've got a bit of a personal connection to that as well. My sister went, and her husband's from Toulouse, and they were actually in Nice. So his family now live in Nice, and they go to this, I mean, it's called, actually called the Promenade d'Anglaise, which is, they built it with Brighton or something like that in mind, you know, so they built it like an English promenade sort of thing. And there's a sort of like a summer festival that happens there every year. And basically the family, being, not necessarily because they're my family, but any normal family, have arguments. So they all had this big row and they didn't actually go that day. And you can imagine the sort of the feeling amongst them whilst they were eating dinner that night, watching TV and watching the horrors which unfolded that day, sort of thing. So they, from being hotheads, it managed to save their lives. So, you know, because they could well have been straight in amongst all that. Yeah, fucking horrific. So, number five in this list is something that I didn't really pay that much attention to. And I remember asking Swami what Pizzagate was actually about. Now, this is WikiLeaks, the Podesa emails.
Yeah, which is quite weird. And I think they're trying to deflect as much attention away from people actually looking at the rather bizarre codes that are obviously being used in some of these emails, particularly by John Podesta. He's quite a worrying character.
Is John Podesta the guy who was married to Hillary's close friend in our campaign? The was she Middle Eastern?
He
turns out he's been a paedophile images on his computer. The same?
Yeah. Well, I think he was her campaign manager.
Right.
There is a another guy called Anthony Weiner.
Anthony Weiner, that's the guy.
But I think Podesta's pretty much, him and his brother are pretty much implicated in a rob. People are sort of looking at these emails, but then people are like following this trail of breadcrumbs, and to these pizza restaurants, which would think a fairly innocuous, the websites of these particular establishments are rather bizarre themselves, and have links to stuff that your average pizza place would not be linking to or have any dealings with. It is a bit of a Pandora's box, and there is some very worrying implications into how and what these people are doing.
They've got links.
In one of them, it said that don't worry, we'll be bringing blah de blah blah de blah blah de blah, and their kids and their respective ages. It was like 8, 10, and 11. And he said, they will be, don't worry, they'll be playing in the pool. You know.
But there's also other links that say that the Clinton Foundation to millions of dollars in charitable donations, the donations from the same Gulf state, which are both Secretary Clinton and President Obama knew they were funding ISIS, Al-Nusra Front, which is Al-Qaeda in Syria, and were known trafficking terrorist fighting organisations.
Yeah.
That's basically the fucking, like, money they were, you know, that they weren't nicking for themselves was going out to fucking fund stuff like that over thingy. And then they had that. This is where the start of the grand conspiracy about Putin somehow being responsible for hacking the US presidential secret buddy, you know, to get his buddy Donald J. Trump into the White House.
Yeah.
So this whole fucking Podesta thing is huge, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think the focusing on the in inverted commas Pizzagate.
Yeah.
Because it's so weird that it's like an easy out. To blanket. The whole of the 30,000 emails, like say, that have got information where the Clinton Foundation is being funded by the same people that fund Al-Nusra and ISIS and ISIL, which are like the Saudi government and the Qatari government. and also to... distance the Clintons and the Democrats away from the Epstein Island situation as well. I mean, that's it with the WikiLeaks emails, is that there's such a plethora of information there that. It's all been overshadowed by fake news, and the Russians did it.
Yeah. And the Pizzagate is the official sort of out-of-control thing used in the battle for to institute forced censorship into, you know, under the guise of this fake news crisis sort of thing, which is, I mean, isn't there five separate pictures of fucking Bill Clinton going to that island? There is actually stuff. There's evidence of him being there on five separate occasions now. Whether he did in or not, sort of thing, fucking going to a known place like that, which has got, you know, there's hard evidence of that.
These other places going to go on, down, isn't there? There is other
absolutely,
places.
Absolutely, yeah. Fucking, it's just beggar's belief. Which, counting down the chart, takes us to the Orlando Pulse nightclub shootings. Now this is very interesting, this one, isn't it? Because it seems like an ISIS operative had to go deep undercover and go in and do this shooting in a gay club.
Yeah.
And then
so
denies
he had to
it.
Get himself on Grindr to infiltrate the bars, perhaps get infiltrated himself.
All for Allah. Yeah, I'm sure Allah didn't mind that as long as it was in his name. I mean, he does sort of put there's quite a bit on this one, isn't there?
He's got his own IDM page. IDM the BP, because he's an actor working for a company called Crisis Cast.
Have they got an IDM pick? Really? Fucking genie's out of the bottle now, isn't it?
I mean, the fact that there's a company called and one of them
Crisis Cast.
One of the film credits, I don't know if it turns out that G4S. G4S.
Yeah.
Was a major client.
G4S.
Of the massive mass casualty staging company, Crisis Cast. So G4S is...
Secure Solutions.
So our present, unelected Prime Minister, Theresa May's husband, is a massive shareholder in G4S. So she appears that she's quite unassuming, but she does, if you dig a bit deeper, she has got fingers in quite a lot of pies, as Theresa.
Absolutely, yeah. And seen this, is it Martin, he's called? Omar Martin also featured as an actor in two documentaries, feature films, including the short interview in a major documentary called The Big Fix in 2012, and a film that examined the BP oil spill, Deepwater Horizon. Indeed, Martin was also featured in another documentary called Love City Jihadibad, which featured... which supposedly depicting progressive Afghani in the quest for social change. Fucking hell. And it's George Gietos, is that? It's if the film credits weren't enough, it turns out the security firm G4S was also a major client mass casualty staging company called Crisis Cast. I mean, if that doesn't fucking, like, say all that, what it does, you know, Crisis Cast.
And this is like actual journalism is going on.
Oh, here. This is proper journalism.
This is looking behind the facade. Like,
you wouldn't be fucking, like, you know, printing this if it wasn't true, would you? I mean, you would get this out yourself.
Yeah.
If you want to, you can check this out for yourself. You can get this guy's name, like you say, for IMDb sort of thing. It's just, fucking hell. It's just weird.
And I think I think they're just making it so blatant now, because they just know that most people either don't give a fuck or can't be asked to look.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Pike and I will...
People sort of know that they're being righteously fucked.
Well, you and I and Vajcik were talking last night about how, like, your beautiful partner, you can't help sort of like what he watches on TV sort of thing. And if you walk through the room, when it happens to be on, it's there, and you're in the immediate sort of direction of this filth. It's fucking like, yeah, you can't help but notice in it. And we were in a similar situation. We were at Fajcik's parents' house, sort of like, and the news is on, and the fucking language these people use is just ridiculous, you know. Like, the, for instance, we were talking about last night, they actually said on the news that the election may have been done by the fucking, you know, they actually used that language, that it could have been done by the Russians. Not it was done by the Russians. It could have been, you know, and that's very suggestive to sort of people who aren't really, I don't want to say as switched on as we are sort of thing, but aren't actually, you know, used to looking for this kind of language in the news sort of thing. And it's all this very legal, easy, very, very deceptive, very, very, you know, fucking it's bullshit, basically. And, you know, you need to check your facts, people, because number three in this list is the White Helmets, and we've gone over these guys so much in the past few weeks, and God, the, you know, from the poor old...
Have you managed to stomach the Netflix?
No, the Netflix, no, chance.
I did.
I couldn't.
It was any terrible.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, you know, we I suppose we should sort of watch it for research purposes, but it would just make you angry. I mean, just when you've got fuckers like Boris Johnson sort of actively saying we're going to give these people 35 million, and we're going to look at giving them 35 million more which is like 100, well, you know, 70 million fucking pounds of our money, which, you know, we're cutting fucking... Pensioners can't get to the fucking shops because, you know, they haven't got any money to fucking spend in the shops in the first place, and the services are being cut. One of the funniest things I saw today, which was the Queen gets a cold and she's told to have some rest, and some other fucking poor guy who's disabled is told he's fit for work. And, like, it's just like, that's how funny it is. It is actually funny, but it's, you know, it's life and death. I mean, how do you know the actual figure on how many people have died since the working pensions guy has started this Fit for Work program?
It's quite fucking a lot.
It's in the thousands, man. It's scarily a lot of people. And I've been watching quite a few of the Jonathan Pye stuff, and it's funny, but he's got a bit of a fucked agenda. This, I mean, he's still in the, you know, he's still in the climate change sort of Hillary and Brexit was a bad thing sort of camp. But, you know, he does make some good observational things.
Is that the
Christmas?
The sort of annoying...
He's the journalist, and he goes...
He's like,
you know, Jonathan Pye.
Sort of shouts at the camera.
Yeah, he's a journalist, and he sort of says off camera what he really thinks. You know, and goes back to sort of, you know, being a journalist sort of thing. But, his act is what he says off camera is what, you know, what he's really about sort of thing. But his Christmas one was quite interesting because it was he's out in the street and he's going, it's Christmas 2016 and blah blah blah, and there's this many homeless people on the street, and he sort of stops and does his thing and he says, you know, our government has fucking failed if there's one homeless person on the street. You know, we have failed as a society if we cannot fucking get off our asses and help people like that. You know, because people who are on the streets, maybe alcoholics, maybe some, you know, drug addicts, whatever. That's a failure of society. If we can't help people who are in that fucking, you know, position through, it might be our fault, but, you know, at least we need to give them help. We need to sort of at least show a bit of fucking humanity, a bit of compassion. But anyone who needs help should be fucking, it should be there to be given instead of spending fucking, what is it, £250 million on redoing Buckingham Palace? For fuck's sake, it's just hasn't been rewired in 100 years. Well, oh, fucking what? Let them fuckers pay for it themselves. They've got, you know, more and than enough money to build themselves.
Don't spend $70 million on terrorist-linked...
Fucking white helmet.
Yeah.
But just there for regime change. No other reason. I did actually think that was quite good. So Jonathan Pye did do one good thing this year. But... Right, so number two on the list is the Russian hoax, which we've touched on already. And is this how low that George Soros is sinking to? Because he realised he's kind of he's hit a bit of a losing battle with Trump now, because Trump's pretty much there, isn't he? I mean, I did see Swami says, like, on the 6th of January, there is the swearing sort of part can sort of still... jeopardize his keys to...
He won 306 electoral votes to Hillary's...
Yeah, the college vote.
232. So, you know... the only thing that's got, that would stop him being sworn in is him being killed.
Right.
There's no way that they're going to make him into a JFK figure. No. Absolutely
not yet. Not yet, anyway. But there's also the Obama can declare martial law.
Yeah.
He can pull that one slightly now, can't he? But that ain't going to happen because... Look what happened just the other day there. He expelled, 35 Russian diplomats?
Yeah.
And Putin just said, I'm not going to fucking even bother with that. Yeah. Fuck him until he's out of the way and I'm going to deal with Donald for that sort of thing.
Yeah,
which kind of gave a bit of credence to the sort of the hacking thing. But, you know, fair play for Putin for saying that. You know, he's playing us brilliantly. You know, he is just sort of like sitting back going, let's fucking see what happens, you know.
He must be laughing his head off.
Oh, he must be pissing himself. man, he must be thinking, yeah, fucking, who is this idiot with his man wife? But basically, the Russian hacking story is, if you haven't guessed it, the clues in the name is the US mainstream media has claimed that the Kremlin or Putin himself has had something to do with the reason that Donald Trump won the election was because he helped hack into the electronic voting, was it? And sort of sweating down Don's...
Yeah, I mean, this one... really is a no-brainer situation, yeah. Because by suggesting that outside foreign forces have hacked your election process where you have electronic machines means that you've put in a system as opposed to pencil and paper the good old-fashioned way, you're putting a system that is hackable. So they've shot themselves in both feet and possibly the head. Because by suggesting that it's hackable, you're putting yourself, the whole system's fucked. That is,
I mean,
that's the last straw, that's the last thing in their arsenal, and it is just so just ludicrous that no wonder Putin's just going, hey, fuck it, is that all you got? Come on, man.
I know. I quite like the end of the little statement he's written. He says the Americans are still waiting to see if there's any real evidence to support Obama and Clinton's conspiracy theory. Still waiting for Godot.
Still waiting for Puto.
Yeah. And so straight in at number one is fake news. Now, has this not been going on since the fucking day one of the printing press being fucking invented?
Yeah.
Propaganda, sort of a... We've seen evidence of it already with the Hillsborough thing we've already mentioned, the Hillsborough, and just all fake news. Every last fucking bit of news is fake, even, you know, apart from maybe the football scores.
Or
even then.
Or the weather.
Or the weather, yeah. Well, sometimes the weather is fake. I mean, I looked... some of the days the sun was beautiful and it was like, fucking no, it's going to rain today. And did it fuck rain?
Well, and I suppose all that type of news can be all faked in the climate change Agenda 21.
Well, do you know, my theory on fake news is basically fucking sour grapes, that they lost the Brexit vote and they lost the fucking... Clinton lost the election.
Yeah.
And, like, this is all just blown up because the fucking journalists in America couldn't be fucking bothered to ask the right questions, to actually challenge Hillary on what her policies were, for a start. All they did was just play up to this... Oh, this guy's an asshole, so why are you going to vote for him? You know, you got to vote for me because he's fucking shit and I'm not. And that was basically our argument. The horrible election campaign was sort of built on that. And
then to add insult to injury, you have the serious situation come to a bit of a head in the the government retaking and liberating of Aleppo, eastern Aleppo, how the news media have been faking the reports coming out of there. They've been tactically not calling terrorists and be referring to them as rebels because apparently you don't want to hurt the feelings. That's what Alex Thompson said, the head of news for Channel 4 said to Vanessa that he didn't want to hurt those people's feelings by calling them terrorists.
Oh, dear. Well, yeah. That's just... how big of them to do that, eh? I mean, one thing that Vajcik sort of wanted to bring up, and it's quite a serious sort of a thought on, you know, now that we've helped to wipe out loads of sort of men and women in Aleppo and sort of other things, and the refugees, the children of these, you know, poor people who are now being orphans sort of thing, what the fuck's going to happen to them? And we did actually have the fucker's name written down somewhere. I seem to have lost a piece of paper it was in it. Do you know where I'm going with this?
No.
But he's basically, we'll have the children in Britain sort of thing, but we're not having the, you remember the story about the Cali?
Cali
refugee camps, and we let the kids in here without their parents.
The
kids go missing very conveniently sort of thing, and doesn't fucking sound very good.
Well, I suppose the one of the bonuses of the year would have to be the McCanns confessing the help of statement analysis that Rich Hall spoke to.
Yeah, real confession of them cans. I've just found, just to sort of backtrack a little bit on that, the guy's name is Stephen Trigg, the chairman for International Development Committee. You know, they've become victims of child trafficking. And in the days where, you know, they're either going to be taken into child labour or, you know, the drug trade or something, or worse, you know, sex slaves, basically.
We're coming up on the end of the show here. So I've got another David Bowie.
Well, we could probably do another 50 shows on 2016. That's sort of let's hope for a hell of a lot better 2017, because I don't think it could get much worse than what we've seen this year. Although we have had, like we said at the beginning, there is shoots of cause for little bits of celebration, that people aren't taking what they're being fed as real food these days. And
so there is hope.
The Brexit result and the Trump result are testimony to people making their own fucking minds up, and it's about time, I say.
Yeah.
So thanks for listening throughout the year, and we'll see you next year.
Yep, we'll see you.
And we should play George Michael Free. We should play some of the George Michaels, just if we can get it in, because wasn't a bad lad, was old George.
Well, we'll maybe play him next year. There's only like 30 seconds left, so here is literally the start of Starman.
if we can find that Palestinian record they made, we'll play that. Take care, folks. Thanks for listening. Didn't know what time.